Hello, my name is Don Solik, Managing Director and Partner at the Bahnsen Group, and your host for this episode of The Financiers. The purpose of The Financiers is to provide timely thought leadership across the diversity of services we provide our clients. Please welcome David Bahnsen. David is the founder, managing partner, and chief investment officer of the Bahnsen Group, managing over $2 billion in client assets. He's a frequent guest on CNBC, Bloomberg, and Fox Business. He's the author of Crisis of Responsibility and The Case for Dividend Growth. Welcome, David.
All right, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, let's jump right into it and off with our first question. What is the purpose of financial concierge services and how does it benefit our clients?
Well, I think that the way I would answer it is in two ways. One is with like a small FC&S, meaning what do wealth management firms offer peripheral services for? What's the purpose of having an offering on your menu of what you do for clients beyond what has traditionally been investment? People came to financial advisors in the 60s, 70s, and 80s to get stocks and bonds. It evolved into more product sales over the years. There became things like mutual funds. There became hedge funds. But it was just a place to go have access to investment product. And then as the business became more consultative, the compensation structure changed. Instead of people paying commissions to execute trades and or to pay a fee to get access to a mutual fund, they began paying fees for advice. And therefore, the advice had to evolve through time because the clients demanded more and more value for the advice they were receiving, the fee they were paying for that advice. It needed to be more integrated. And so small FCS, basically, I think, is the attempt of financial advisors and wealth management firms to couple their investment delivery, whatever it is they're doing for their clients by way of investment solutions, with financial planning, tax, various other services that might be kind of incidental to the delivery of investment advice. At the Bahnsen Group, Capital FCS, Financial Concierge Services, is essentially our version of a holistic wealth management firm. So we believe that investment solutions, first of all, need to be very customized, very tailored to each individual client needs, have a lot of attention given to the asset allocation, the asset location, how tax efficiently we're placing assets in different accounts. There's a whole lot that we do, we believe, how we manage money. And of course, at my podcast, Dividend Cafe, and with the investment committee and so forth, there's no shortage of ways that clients learn about what we believe about capital markets investment. But Financial Concierge Services then says, okay, we need to provide our clients from emerging accumulators of wealth to very established ultra high net worth clients and everything in between, the various services that go with these phases of wealth in their life, accumulation, preservation, and of course, transfer. It invites automatically a conversation about charitable planning, about philanthropic gifting, about tax efficiency, about estate and gift planning, trust services. And then I think you've seen it grow, I believe, a kind of core financial concierge service offering is tax, trust, estate. But now you've seen it evolve into, you mentioned in the intro, family and lifestyle. So if instead of me giving you what, it's been about 4 minutes of my answer so far, instead of me giving you a 4 minute answer, I was giving you a 4 second answer. It is all the things we do apart from investment services to serve the needs of our clients.
Thank you, David. Let's talk about the different areas within the financial concierge services. In the first area, there is investment solutions and the management of the portfolios. There is defined benefits and contributions. There's alternative investments, real assets, liquidity, college funding, all those different types of things. In that area, can you give me a bit of your perspective on that particular area for a client?
Well, I think that the better way to put it would be that the investment solutions covers any product or service that is necessary to deliver on a financial goal. That's right. We don't view 529, which is the college funding vehicles that have particular tax advantages to them in the present Internal Revenue Code. We don't view it as a product. It's a platform. It's a mechanism by which people can save for college and have the earnings be free of tax. And so we offer 529 planning because we have clients who are in need of saving tax efficiently for their kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews. Higher education needs. As a matter of fact, 529 has been expanded in the new tax law to even involve saving for primary and secondary education, K through 12. So that's an example of where it isn't just a product. It's just something that needs to be done because the client has a need. So clients will have need around real assets. They'll have needs around consultation on real estate. They'll have needs on evaluating an income, a real estate income portfolio. And then, of course, there's always the bread and butter, which is the stocks, bonds, cash, and alternatives that make up a traditional portfolio. So the investment solutions needs to cover all the different platforms that are within the various goals a given client may have. You mentioned defined benefit, defined contribution. You have various tax efficient ways to accelerate what one can save for retirement. We have a specialist in our firm who is very focused on the small business retirement space, corporate retirement planning, individual retirement. So whether it be a product, a platform, serve it all at the end of the day is a solution. They're all various solution sets that we have on the menu that we have to use in our consultative work for a client to deliver the experience best for them.
I can't go on without asking. Some of our listeners might not be familiar with the Bonson Group. So can you spend a short amount of time talking a little bit about...
Specific with dividend growth?
Yes.
Sure. I would encourage those that are listening right now, learning a bit out of the financiers about the Bonson Group that want to understand more about the investment philosophy, to view some of the stuff we've put up. We have a little 4-minute video at the website where it's like a whiteboard, and we kind of help in a really simple way demonstrate why we believe growth of dividend investments are where we find the most optimal blend of risk and reward. Mm-hmm. So we do focus on individual stocks that come from companies that are growing their dividend over time. And it's centered around our belief that we want to avoid people having to withdraw from a portfolio when it's declining in value. We want something that's always going higher, meaning growing the income the portfolio generates. We think we can control risk that way. And we also happen to think it provides us a universe of much higher quality companies. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the second book I wrote, The Case for Dividend Growth, is an apologetic for dividend growth investing. It's something we practice vigorously here at the Bonson Group. Anybody who writes into us who's interested, we'll send them a free copy of the book. I'm not saying that to avoid answering your question, but because the book is 180 pages, if I give the whole apologetic now, I'll take up all the podcast time. So yes, we'll send a copy of the book to anyone, but dividend growth investing is the very specific belief we have about how to manage optimally risk capital.
Speaking of risk, the next area is risk management. And as you know, we will assess a client's risk by taking a look at everything from property and casualty to health insurance that they may have, or the health risks that they have, life risks, all the way down to disability and long-term care. Can you talk about that area?
Yeah, I think that the way we approach it, and of course you know this very well, your background insurance and risk management and the services you provide to clients here at the Bonson Group. But I got to speak a little candidly, if I get to answer this stuff honestly, the vast majority of our financial services as an industry presents risk management insurance as a product sale. It's a veneer to being able to sell something. And that is the most categorical difference, I would state, from the way we view this subject versus the way most do it. It is not a product center for us. It is a consultative service. We do not make money when we are helping clients improve their property and casualty coverages, when we're referring to one of our outsourced partners in that space. There is no revenue to us to go through and evaluate where there may be gaps in coverage, inadequate coverages, excessive deductibles. There's a lot of nuances that go, particularly for high net worth people that may have particular liabilities. You know, just because we talked about earlier, what you talked about earlier, that I'm frequently on various television appearances and financial media and had a couple books out, it was a byproduct of our consultative process for myself that we realized I needed more media liability coverage. It's not exactly an insurance coverage most people would have. Well, we have various clients that may have a particular niche need in their risk management, warrants various riders and various special attention in the way we would approach their coverages. Health, long-term care, a lot of clients simply need consultation around how to receive Social Security benefits, how to integrate their Medicare with their secondary insurance. There's just a lot of nuance that goes into it. There's no vanilla answer. There's no Google.com search that's going to give you an answer. So we have to do the work, do the homework, surround ourselves internally and externally with partners that can deliver this value to clients, that nothing that can go wrong will interfere with what can go right, and therefore disability coverage, things like that. There are elements to risk management that have become so crass and self-serving in financial services. I think the category difference for us as fiduciaries is that we are being driven by the consultative approach to protect our clients, and we are covering all bases.
Yeah, one of the bases in particular is cybersecurity, and identity theft and areas like that.
I think that that's one that we're a little ahead of the curve on. Most firms would not be covering anything like that. But I think that we have found external partners that are able to really do deeper dive into it. That not only is not a revenue center for us, it is a cost center. That for certain clients at certain levels and whatnot, we're actually paying out of pocket for some consultation and some premiums and fees that may be involved with it, just as kind of an additive service that we're doing. But the world of cybersecurity is probably something that most people out this window of our office need more than even the various insurances that almost everybody has. And yet, I think very, very few people are paying attention to cybersecurity, where a lot of people pay attention to a lot of the more traditional insurance coverages. And we are learning more and more about the landscape that exists, not just domestically. It's a global phenomena. Particularly people of higher net worth, not to mention higher profiles, are significantly more exposed than they realize. The good guys out there are doing a reasonable job to protect from the bad guys, but the bad guys are more motivated than the protectors. So we need additive services to protect against the bad guys.
The next area is estate and transfer planning, and it includes things obviously like tax minimization, charitable planning, making sure that your trusts are in place.
Now, it doesn't have to include tax minimization. If people want more and more of their money to go to the government, then we can arrange for tax maximization as well. I hear a lot these days that some people apparently really like that idea. So it's really just tax optimization, depending on what one's goal may be.
And we have some
really, I thought that was pretty funny.
I think it's very funny.
But you're right. Yeah, we call it the Ben Franklin factor. The two things in life that are assured are death and taxes, and estate planning properly done will address all the aspects one may need to plan around their inevitable mortality and, of course, taxing on transfers of money that exist either in one's lifetime or at their passing.
And as I'm talking about each one of these services, we have external and internal resources that have knowledge in these areas. Next area is real estate.
I think that it is, in a way, an asset class, but in a way, a kind of universe of its own. It is something that people, everyone has connectivity to real estate, because even if they're not an investor in it, they either rent or live somewhere. They often might own property that someone else rents or lives in. They may have an income aspiration. They may have a growth aspiration. There are tax ramifications around the asset class. They may be making direct investment into commercial property or residential. They may be making a non-direct investment into real estate via a fund of sorts or a kind of bundled investment, professionally managed vehicle. So there's all these different aspects that involve, I think, more sophisticated planning. We've managed to develop some relationships with people that we think provide a lot of expertise, a lot of experience to the space, and we have a lot of success. We've had a lot of success in being able to generate the right sort of optics and advice around what people may be doing as it pertains to their real estate portfolios.
Retirement planning is the next area.
Yeah, I think that broadly speaking, financial planning is probably one of the most core services that most financial, you know, wealth management firms are set to provide. Some do it with more focus than others. Some do it with more of an emphasis than others. We not only view it as a real significant priority that we are continuing to resource and staff. We're going to be making an announcement next month about a new director of financial planning whose sole responsibility will be that resource at a high senior level to our advisors on the financial planning that they're providing. We use a tool at the Bonson Group called eMoney. It's a very, very sophisticated technology platform that is set to deliver a financial planning solution. There are a number in the marketplace. We think eMoney is the most robust. And as you mentioned, cash flow planning, accumulation modeling, making adjustments around tax and inflation assumptions. We want to provide clients with a roadmap, how different things will play out. We want clients that are in a cash flow withdrawal stage of life to know what that looks like and model it and risk test it, stress test it, provide different scenarios so that we can ensure that they're not going to be hurt negatively by some of the unknowns that could come up. And so financial planning coupled with a lot of the individual situations and come up for one around death, around divorce, around, you know, sometimes split families have more complexity. This is something that by definition requires a lot of customization. So we leverage a lot of resources, a lot of investment. It's a big investment on our part to properly resource this department at our firm.
The next area is accounting. Maybe you can talk about our tax affiliation and...
Yeah, I mean, I think that tax services more and more, I guess we're talking our own book to some degree here, but I really believe that it works for wealth management firms that are holistically minded around investment and planning to also offer tax. But I don't think it works for tax planners to offer investment. They just simply aren't resourced and aren't structured to provide real sophisticated investment planning. Well, we in-house are not looking to be in the tax return generation business, but we are looking for every single client who needs optimal tax planning and tax preparation to have access to such. So we created an affiliation with a very high quality provider tax services here in the Orange County area with a firm that was very culturally aligned with ours. Similarly, the tax affiliation providing very high end tax planning where there is a lot of complexity and a lot of need. But we have clients that have very simple tax return needs. They just need someone to look things over. They need to make sure the forms are right. And so we want to provide tax return services via this affiliation as well. Similar to what I said before, it's not even remotely a revenue center for us. We want clients paying the tax affiliate directly, but we want to bridge the gap, be the communication resource, have it be integrated into the conversations that are necessary around financial planning and investment planning. So this way, I think that having everyone on the same page saves clients in cost, makes for more sophisticated planning, and ultimately generates a better net-net after-tax result through time.
Next area, we have business planning services, cash management, business valuations, yeah, going through the process of looking at different exit strategies, key man, buy, sell, those types of things.
Yeah, well, and also I got to talk about in the context of the transaction that we recently closed at the Bonson Group with G3 Partners, which was another wealth advisory firm under the moniker at Hightower Advisors that we've acquired and brought into the Bonson Group family. And we believe that this provides a significant improvement in-house now at Bonson Group via this acquisition to provide counsel and direction on exit planning, on investment banking, on deal structure, deal flow, that is a real value to our clients that are business owners, corporate executives, entrepreneurs, things like that. So cash management's a service that we've had available for quite some time. We have a number of different ways in which we do that. It is a difficult space to add value because of the low interest rate environment we've been in for some time and will probably be in for some time. So folks that are looking to maintain liquidity but get an optimal interest income result on their short-term cash liquidity. We have a number of ways in which we execute that for clients. Talked about the corporate retirement services. Our partner, Robert Graham, heads up that department. We've done 10B5 transactions from a concentrated stock position planning. There's a lot of work that we do there. But I think that this issue I'm most excited about right now is in business succession planning, being able to present possible strategic solutions to clients that might be looking for an exit, looking for capital solutions within their own business. And I think that us bringing in Jeff Gregory as a director here to our business is a great asset and adds to our bench in this particular silo of our services.
Family and lifestyle is the final area. It includes family governance, multi-generational education, private banking, private charter, those types of things.
Yeah, it's really the kind of concierge part of financial concierge services. It's very additive. It's lifestyle oriented. I think some can be more serious and heady when you get into family governance, education. Sometimes for ultra high net worth families, there's a real need for communication in a multiple generation situation. I think it's a tremendous value to clients to have access to resources that can help structure family governance in a family office capacity, and also helping to define families' charitable philanthropic goals and the way in which they want to kind of see their legacy defined and implemented. Then you get into some things that may seem a bit more trite, but can be really beneficial for clients. Coordination around travel services, having access to folks that can provide high-level travel planning. But we have had quite a bit of work done around private charter, things of that nature. There's a lot of vendors that do it. Most people can provide that service, but they like having access to some of these vendors. They may get better cost delivery. They get kind of a intermediator is there to sort of help bridge that gap. So these are additive. These can be a lot of fun. And we just think it adds value to a client's life.
One other area that is personal banking. Can you talk about personal and maybe commercial banking and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that in a lot of ways, how you structure or organize this stuff, some people might look at banking even in a different department, but we think it's a concierge service because most people are so accustomed now, and I think it's very unfortunate, to thinking of banking purely transactionally, but not at all relationally. And I know that that's really where my mind sort of went with it over the years, is that you maybe just had some large corporate bank that you didn't necessarily know any people, and you needed a place for deposit function and for bill pay function, more or less. Maybe you did your lending with them, maybe you didn't. Most of the time, people were not. And I think having that notion of kind of a private banker, well, it's not a business we want to be in. We're not positioned as investment people and wealth management people to be focused on the banking side, which is still a very specific business category in our country. I think post-financial crisis, banking sort of became kind of this thing to sort of throw away, an afterthought. People didn't like it, and people didn't really have high expectations for it. We've done a lot of vetting to help find a banking relationship that we think will bring the relationship side back to banking. Let the bank know their client, let them interact with them, be able to provide additive service that's more than just walking into a branch or punching a couple keystrokes, that's there to remove impediments from the transactions of banking, but also the function of it. When you need a particular loan, when you need greater facilities, when you need more complicated deposit structures, that's more common probably on the business side. But even for high net worth clients, I think that being treated like a commodity of a customer is something a lot of people don't like. And unfortunately, I think that's really the most common experience people have at very large banks. So we've done a lot of work to find potential referral partners in banking. Again, at absolutely no revenue for us, but something that we think will represent a better strategic partner for us in terms of working with our clients.
On that note, and so can you talk a little bit about costs associated with financial concierge services?
Yeah, so there are certain costs that would be direct cost to the a third-party outsourced provider. You know, there may be legal paperwork involved in some part of estate planning where a client would be paying the law firm directly. But in terms of all of these different services that we're providing, we view it as part of the engagement that we have with a client. And of course, the fee structure we have with clients varies client to client. There's a number of different ways in which we kind of will address that. The point I guess I would make is once we have an engagement with a client, an agreement, we become a fiduciary advisor to them. They're paying us how they're paying us and what they're paying us for the services we're providing. We then go all in towards providing these various services to meet their needs. There are certain hard costs. I mentioned cybersecurity on a bookkeeping front. There are certain things that we will incur the cost on directly for our platinum level clients. But my point being that all of these services are available to all of our clients, and none of these services are adding additional revenue to the Bonson Group, besides the revenue that our clients pay us directly.
I have a lot of clients that will say, well, financial concierge services, isn't that just a family office or, you know, multifamily office if you're handling multiple families?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is semantics. I don't think, let's say, Don, we have a $2 million client. They're a client where maybe there's husband and wife, they're both working, they've accumulated $2 million of wealth, they're still working, they own a home. They need financial planning. They need estate planning. They have kids they want to put through college. I don't think that most people would consider the work that'd be done for a client like that family office. They would not need the cost structure around putting together full family office personnel and whatnot. But they need planning. They need tax. They need legal. So financial concierge services becomes that holistic and comprehensive treatment, the full orb of services that they may need to help manage their financial affairs, but not necessarily with all the complexity and with all the personnel that, say, someone with $100 million would obviously need. That at that level, you get into various challenges and objectives that require more in-depth charitable planning, transfer planning, stock concentration risk. There's all kinds of things that generally go with people that are in these larger sizes. Well, because we have clients in both categories, we have $100 million clients and $2 million clients, we want to have available the resources to meet the needs of all those clients. And so by offering a more multifamily office structure for our platinum clients, financial concierge services to a different tier of client that would have different needs, and helping that client avoid the tier of expenses that goes with the higher range, we think that we're scratching all the itches.
Can you talk a little bit about the process that goes around, you know, maybe when you first meet a client, onboarding all the way, you know, ongoing review, and how financial concierge services fits into that?
Well, I think that the various advisors at the Bonson Group, as they're engaging with their client, they're quickly assessing what the needs are. And so as we're onboarding a new client and setting up their accounts and delivering on what we've proposed to them from an investment standpoint, there may be clients that on day one we need to go get with our estate people and sit down and create an estate plan. I've had the situation before. There was no estate plan in place. There's a new client and maybe the husband or the wife is terminally ill. So there's a time sensitivity to go address a certain need. Sometimes it may be, look, we want to get this done, but we have 30 days, 60 days. So we create a workflow of some of the tasks, you know, short-term, mid-term, longer-term goals. You think about some of the risk management needs that come up. Long-term care is a great example. We want to talk about assess it with everyone, but when someone's 42, it might be a very different priority than when they're, say, 59. So there's, you know, age ramifications to all of it as well. But the point being, each client situation is going to define both the timing and the relevance of some of the services. But our structure at the Bonson Group is not boilerplated. We have created a private wealth advisor model where we have each client as an individual relationship manager who's a highly qualified, competent professional that then they have to take the responsibility for the delivery of these services in the particular manner that is most applicable to that client.
Can you talk to me about the process that we go through in finding an external resource to support us?
Yeah, I start with the premise, and it's a false one, but I pretend that in a perfect world, we would do everything in-house, right? Because we're big on control. We're big on accountability. So we like the idea. There's sort of a Catholic doctrine of subsidiarity here. The closer it is to us, the more we like it. But then you have to work from there and say, okay, but in this case, it can't be in-house because, you know, for example, a lot of legal work requires an outside entity, requires a very niche understanding. So where it is going to be most beneficial to a client to have an outsourced partner versus an insourced resource, then we have to go about finding the right way to outsource that particular aspect. So the legal aspect is a very easy one. I talked earlier about how we kind of met in the middle of tax services via this affiliation that we have. I think that you have a lot of services that for them to run a successful business for what they're doing, think of something like elder care. There are a lot of things that they wouldn't get enough business to properly perform as a company just from our client base. So it makes sense for them to diversify. We can become a real strategic partner for them, but they may have any number of other ways in which they're obtaining business as well. And I think that that just makes for a market. It just makes for a real functional set of strategic services. So each business silo is going to be different. We get so niche, as you know, in some of the services that we may have certain strategic partners that we're only referring a couple clients to a year. It would make no sense for us to insource it. However, there are things that we're dealing with virtually every single day. Those are things that we want to be able to do right here in the office. So we attack it rationally and make good business decisions for our business, for the partner's business, and for the client's needs as to what needs to be internal resource versus an external outsource.
And on a lot of the partners, we're performing due diligence, taking a look at, you know, their process, taking a look at their references, I should say.
Yeah, I'll reword one. And I wouldn't say on a lot of them. I'd say on all of them. I hope that if they, you know, this is obviously the area that you're most responsible for and do a wonderful job. And I think that everything you just said is right. And I'll add the word that I think is really most vital is their reputation. Mm-hmm. Because what gets kind of priced into one's reputation is all of those things you referred to. Their pedigree, their experience. Through time, one's reputation is nothing but kind of like a stock price of their value. And that reputation reflects all the good and bad over the years and whatnot. And so we are out looking for just high quality reputations of professional service providers in these various areas that we work with.
It's like when people ask us, what is our minimum? We say our minimum is, can we add value and do you trust us? Yeah. And so we look for the same thing. We also have a lot of resources that aren't just sole resources. We might refer a client to three different estate planning attorneys and they get to decide, you know, maybe there's a personality piece that they would like to have or even a geographic territory.
Yeah, that's right. Choice is a good thing.
You talk a little bit about advice and insights portion of our website and some of the thought leadership and then particularly the financiers.
Sure. So what we really have, I guess, maybe kind of accidentally developed over the years, but at some point it became very intentional, is the belief that content creation, that thought leadership, are a value proposition in and of themselves, that clients want to be informed, they deserve to be informed, and you mentioned before that our ask of them is that they trust us. We think we build trust by constantly communicating with clients about what we believe and why, and so we do an inordinate amount of work to communicate with clients about what's happening in their portfolios, what's our perspective on the economy, on the markets at large, all sorts of things like that. And that content will take the shape and form of any number of mediums, from the podcast like what we're doing right now to web articles to white papers. I mentioned a couple books that we've written. You know, there is a lot of public speaking. We want to constantly be delivering content to our clients that is actionable, that is incisive, that is digestible and valuable. Well, I think that financiers becomes that kind of niche product offering in our content portfolio around these various services that go above and beyond the investment solutions side of our wealth management experience.
With that, are there any questions you might have for me?
Well, tell me this, Don. Do you see, I kind of know the answer, but I think my question is perhaps how you could articulate it to listeners, where the financial concierge services sort of transcends just a kind of business offering, a business strategy. It's a part of the way in which we execute for clients, but where it becomes a very relational element, a very personal part of what we do with our clients, is this cannot be commoditized. It is a very personal business. We have relationships with our clients. All of us as the advisors of the Bonson Group take that very seriously. We know our clients. We love our clients. If we didn't, we wouldn't want to work with them anymore. Where do you see financial concierge services as a part of that personal relationship with clients?
You can't be a good comprehensive advisor unless you're understanding every bit of the financial need of a client. And it goes beyond just financial needs. There is emotional needs and all kinds of different things that fit into that. But if I'm just looking at investments without understanding tax or their estate planning or their family governance, where, you know, how they want to leave a legacy and their charitable planning or what they're thinking about in their business, you can't make a good solution unless you know all of those different pieces. And so it's something that happens over time. You get to know the client better and better. It's strategic planning 101. Where do you want to go across your family, your business, your maybe philanthropic or your investments, and where are you today, and how do you get from one place to the other? And that multi-generational, I should say, legacy planning is at the heart of kind of our overall philosophy.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it's something that I speak for myself, but I know that all the advisors at Bonson Group feel the same here, and they've experienced it in different ways. There is something about the financial concierge services silo since we created it and have sort of enhanced it over the years that's added to greater opportunity for that relationship with clients, because you now have a real organized conversation about things that maybe before you wouldn't have had. And there's this chance to know the client better and to serve them better. And I feel that we're very equipped with the resources necessary to deliver it. And honestly, there are times where there's nothing for us to do. They don't really have the need, as it turns out, or we don't have a resource for them at this point. Yet the conversation was made possible. Like, hey, I noticed you guys offer this. Can we talk about it? Can we look at it? We kind of look into it. We learn a little bit more about their grandparents or this or that. Come back and say, okay, I think we're okay here. It facilitates greater intimacy in those client relationships, which I think is very important. And it's something that we really encourage. It's a key part of our culture is that boutique component that we know our clients, we want them to know us. Thank you very much for letting me be on this today. I enjoyed doing it, and maybe, you know, it's your podcast. Maybe you'll let me come back sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Bonson Group is registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, and with Hightower Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there's no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is not indicative of current or future performance, and is not a guarantee. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data and information referenced herein are from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other information contained in this research is provided as general market commentary. It does not constitute investment advice. The team at Hightower shall not be in any way liable for claims and make no express or implied representations or warranties as the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information, or for statements or errors contained in or omissions from the obtained data and information referenced herein. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced. Such data and information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are solely those of the team and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.